in each moment, I'm making a choice. Whether I'm aware of it or not, I'm making a choice. And in that moment, I'm choosing to be awakened or be blind. And when I'm choosing to be awakened, when I'm being wise, wisdom follows wisdom. So I'll do the wisest thing I know how to do. Fill that time up with something that is going to plant the seed of wise development, spiritual joy for the future. But if I follow blindness, I don't actually know what future I'm planning. So I had that realization last week that each moment I should talk to my heart and think, okay, well, I had a little midlife crisis where I was like reflecting, going, holy dilly, I'm the back end of my 30s. Like, I'm nearly at 40. What if that's my like mid-century, you know? Like, that's my halfway mark. Like, I was like, whoa, what haven't you got done that you need to get done? Started having a little, take some time, do that. Kick back and go, all right, I've come this far, and let's say I live this long. What do I want to get done now? Just take a little moment and just have a think about it. Because it's good to talk to your heart. That's what Sivu told us to do a few weeks ago. He said, you've got to learn to talk to your heart. And it can be scary talking to your heart about some subjects because you might not like the reaction that you dealt with, but you'd rather face it in little amounts in controlled doses now than have it all shock you one day when you've just forgotten about it and dug your head in the sand. So, and when I explained that, I realized that if I can bring all my awareness into the present and focus on something eternal like earth, like water, like fire, like wind, or air rather, if I can do that regularly and reset my consciousness to be aware of that illusion, then it makes it easy to follow the wise choice because you're right away going back to essence, back to aware of the present, and then you make a wise choice from there. You're not like trying to make the wise choice when all this blind pollution is still influencing you. Like coronavirus, and then try and do something wise with all that weirdness. No, that's madness. You got to purify that. So every now and then, stop, observe earth. Stop, observe water. Stop, observe changing. Something eternal and connect to that. And then it makes it easier to make the wise choice going forward. Anyway, that was my little awakening from the other night. Talk to your heart. Talk to your heart. Yeah. So was there any other questions, topics, thought-provoking things? Any questions from Sifu's class?
You're not your
experience.
Not your experience. So experience is a funny word because I can be aware of the ball over there, right? And seeing it, that and being aware of it through sight, that's my experience. But if someone threw that ball at my head and it hit me, the same object would give a very different information. It'd be, instead of being, oh, it's a nice ball, it'd be a bang and pain, right? I don't even have to see the ball to feel the pain from it. So experience is the result of interacting with illusion being. It's receiving information from illusion being. And so I can be in a room and there can be 50 things in that room and four of us are in that room. And then when we go outside and people say, what did you experience in that room? We would have different experiences. But the room's the same. We're all in the same room. But I might remember 10 of the 50 things. Valerie might remember a different 10. John a different 10. John a different 10. So your experience is like the result of your awareness boundary meeting illusion being. And each life's experience is limited by their awareness boundary. So when we talk about experience, you are not your experience because your awareness boundary will change. And what you're aware of will keep changing. And your experience is what happened when your consciousness interacted with that moment of changing. And boom, that moment's gone. You can never bring it back. You can't go change it. No one, not even Buddha, can go back and change that moment. It's gone forever, eternally, pricelessly gone. Never to come back. So experience, it's once in a lifetime experience and it's gone. They really mean that when they say that. Once in a lifetime experience. But you can experience things again and again and again. It'll never be the same, but it'll be similar. And similar equals boring. So the first time we experience something, it's great. You ever skydived? It's epic. Second time, it was even more epic because I was less freaked out and I could enjoy it. Same exact situation, different experience, different awareness boundary equals different result. So the reason suffering appears when we experience the same illusion being for too long, we get bored. Life can be so amazing and unlimited, from Big Bang to black hole and all these other crazy illusion being, and we get stuck with the same routine. Like, how do we do that? What kind of dumbass does that? In a universe that system is constantly changed, never repeat, our consciousness is so blind it wants to stop the change and make it repeat. Freaking eh. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to move house. Yeah, moving house is a pain in the ass. Or I don't want to, you know, oh, I need a job that's stable and secure and I know it'll just be able to, so I can spend 30 years paying off the same house. You know what I mean? Like, our consciousness seems to want to go that way. It's quite funny. So, you are not your experience, because whatever you experience, it only happens for a short time, then it's gone. If it's not eternal, how can it be you? Your true self is the thing that is always there. Anything that appears and goes, that's temporary. So it's definitely not you. So you are definitely not your experience. And if I experience suffering, thank God I'm not my experience, because, no, not thank God, thank causation that I'm not my experience, because through wisdom I can get rid of that suffering. Through cause and effect I can change that to no more suffering. And so it's lucky that I am not my suffering, otherwise that wouldn't be possible. So every pain you've ever had in the past, you're never getting rid of it. It's always there.
Instead of be aware of that suffering, you be aware of how you get, you be aware of that wisdom to get out of that suffering.
Oh yeah, and you appreciate the wisdom that got you out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you've developed wisdom to see through some kind of crazy suffering,
can we use to?
You can reconnect to it anytime. It's there. If you stay, yeah, it's beautiful actually. If you've ever had like a really deep wisdom unlock some blockage you had, like, if you've ever had like a point in your back that locked up and you had it locked up and you couldn't figure it out, and then someone tells you how to unlock it, if you ever have that feeling back, you're going to be like, I know which point it is, help me. But until you've felt it, you can't unlock it. So the wisdom is in going through it yourself and learning it by practicing on yourself, which is what's wrong with a lot of healers in the world today, is they learn a lot through books, but they don't train their body, they don't learn how to make their own body work really high level, so they don't know how to teach that. Do you know the difference between blind consciousness experience and Buddha consciousness experience?
So blind level consciousness has less awareness, so then they will have a different experience, whereas Buddha level is like unlimited, where, well, like, their awareness is, you know, complete, they're not missing parts. So they will have an experience that is aware of all sides or angles, whereas a blind will only have an experience limited by their awareness boundary.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Why is consciousness so aware that the experience is illusion, whereas blind consciousness might take that as serious, or like has something good on?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good one. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Blind consciousness take it as real. Awakened consciousness are aware it's just an illusion, and they are choosing to involve and play in it. Blind consciousness are constantly trapped in receiving. Awakened consciousness live in like wise creation. Do you want me to try and make that more practical, like how you can understand it?
Yes.
Right, if you and me have a slow-mo fight, so sit and face me, right? Me and Olo are about to have a slow motion fight, right? If Olof comes to attack me, right? Ah! And I block, and then he attacks again. Ah! And I block, and then he attacks again. Ah! I'm constantly receiving, right? I'm receiving his suffering. I'm creating nothing, right? But if as he does that, I reach in now. Now he has to block. Oh, now he's on the back foot. Oh, now I'm creating. And now I make him move where I want. So when two people, when I go to spar with Sifu, we'd spar like this, and he'd wait. He'd just give you this moment. And in that moment, it's a moment of who's going to create power first. And one time he went, oh, you don't want to move? I move. And as soon as I did that, and then he was on the front foot. And he was like, so he goes at you knowing that that's what you're going to do. So he creates that moment to take control of it. And what you, when you're fighting with him, so he'll be attacking you, and so if you attack me, he'll be into some weird point, and then a moment will happen where you'll be like, oh, I've got him, and you get him for this 1 second, you take control and you get him on the back foot, and he like has to move away from you, and it lasts about 2 or 3 moves, and then boom, he flips it again and takes control of it again. You're like, oh my god. To be able to do that in the moment is like really fun. And it's just, you've got to be sharp and sensitive and empty. Because if you're trapped by your experience at each time, so if Olaf attacks me, and as he gets close to me, my experience is fear, and I jam up, I'm my blind experience. But instead I'm just relaxed and trust. Okay, I just know I go that way, relax with it and roll. Like, follow the system of Tai Chi, follow the system of the universe. To let whatever's coming, let it roll off me. And then all of a sudden I'm in this amazing position with all this energy, beautiful posture, body language, and he's in a bad position. And I've created this amazing moment. So not being trapped in your blind feeling is where this wisdom starts. And this slips beautifully into a post that went up today, 6 steps to purifying an illusion being. It's from 2010, it's pretty cool. And it starts by explaining that life may be illusion being, but it is not an illusion in the sense that everything is meaningless. Illusion being has incredible wisdom and logic. It's the power of constant change. But the way it changes has a lot of step-by-step connections through cause and effect. So to learn spirits, you have to understand the logic and apply it to your life correctly. The first step is to become a wise person, to have the ability to change your mood and emotional habit into a habit that uses wisdom. But in order to bring that step, you need another step first, and that is remembering the wisdom. All the information you want to apply to your life, you must first remember it. Before remembering the wisdom, you must first observe it. Observe it and observe whatever information you receive and try to understand whether it is correct. Because if it were not correct, why would you want to try to learn it? And before you observe the information, you need to have an open mind to listen to wisdom. And this is curiosity. And curiosity comes when you realize that you are blind and don't have wisdom. So the difference between Buddha and blind consciousness. Blind consciousness are curious. Curious to understand life. They don't understand, they're curious to understand. Oh, baby sees fire. Oh, what's fire? Ah, suffering. So young, naive, curious, blind heart. That is where blindness. And through that blind curiosity, they go and they learn and they learn and they learn through experience, learn through suffering, boom, 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 boom. Buddha is a consciousness that has learned through all that experience already. Already been through all that wisdom. Has learned, purified, cleaned out, had discipline, developed, grown, reobserved, observing self-being, free from suffering, boom. Reach the highest, and then choosing back to go back down. So blind consciousness experienced through curiosity and suffering, Buddha consciousness is directly aware and already free. Yeah.
What do you mean by going back?
Yeah, so that's divine consciousness. So Siddhartha Buddha came to earth. Mm. Siddhartha Buddha was already a Buddha before the human form of Siddhartha Buddha appeared. That Buddha's consciousness was Buddha a long time ago, but chose to be born on earth at that time as a divine consciousness, out of compassion. If you're a really good swimmer and you're standing on the edge of a river where heaps of people are stuck swimming and drowning, and you had the power to swim and save them and get them all out, you know, going back in the river is scary, it's dangerous. Because you could get stuck. But when your wisdom is as complete and pure as Buddha's, you don't worry about getting stuck. Buddha knows how to see through all those egos, all the tricks of life, all the illusion. Stay empty. So brave, wise heart, go back in. Help other life out of it. And even though they come back in, they never really come back in. They're directly aware life is illusion while they're in that dream. Their subconscious, hidden consciousness isn't hidden. It's awakened consciousness. So, yeah. Coming back is actually the wrong way to say it. I shouldn't have said that. Divine consciousness. Yeah. Because there are 6 direct steps to purify illusion that are pretty cool. The steps to wisdom ability come through purifying illusion, as we just said. All the suffering, that's our teacher. We need to purify that and create a wisdom ability. So, the first one is suffering, because we feel that suffering is bad. And we understand that it's no good, and life's not supposed to be that way. So we start searching for the answer to our suffering. Ah, where is the answer to my suffering? What do you think the second one is? You're lost by your own suffering. You're already so lost. You can't function. It's like I have a really bad contradictory one, which is where I'm super impatient. So I do things really fast. But in doing things really fast, I drop shit. I lose stuff. I make things take way longer. It's the ultimate contradiction. And it gets worse when I'm nearly home and I need to wee. And you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I drop bottles on my toe. And I'm like, oh, my toe. That's just ridiculous. Everything takes longer because I'm so overwhelmed by my blind impatience and intense ambition for time maximization so I can, what, scroll on Instagram? Like, come on, man. Sorry, a little bit of a self-reflection moment. So, what's the second one? We've got suffering and we want to get rid of it. Suffering comes from blindness. Acknowledging this blindness pushes you to search for answers to your suffering. It's like that moment where you're like, oh man, this is my fault. I've done this. I don't understand what I'm doing. I have to turn this ship around. Now I'm curious. Help me, universe. I'm ready to learn. After the suffering and the realization of blindness, your heart becomes more curious to release the suffering and cure the blindness. So what's four now?
Is it observed?
Yay! But can you explain why it's observed?
Well, because you're suffering, you've acknowledged through blindness, you've acknowledged that you're the main cause. You're curious as to how to stop it. So the next step would be to look around or observe and see if you can figure out what you did to bring it on.
Oh, that's all great. See, this is another mini step leading the step. I would say that's correct, but this is the next step. This is after you. So, okay. So you now like, Meryn's one's like, oh, I'm bleeding. How can I fix it? Does anyone have a first aid kit? Like, Meryn's one's like looking around for solutions, right? All right, I'll take you to the point you need to actually observe the information that is supposed to be the wisdom that is going to fix your suffering and observe it to make sure it is correct. Make sure it matches the reality you've already observed. Make sure the wisdom that you're about to apply to your life is indeed the correct wisdom. Because through cause and effect, if I go following Reiki and like raking my card and it doesn't stop the bleeding and I'm going to die, I followed the wrong wisdom. So observe that the wisdom is indeed true wisdom. It is not fake, blind, the secret that's going to lead me down a path of material greed or a guru kind of philosophy that's going to talk empty nonsense, blind mental game. It's going to give me a headache and not solve my suffering. So that one was observed to make sure the wisdom is indeed correct. At one part, you've got to take responsibility and go, can I hear more about it? You know, you've got to observe in that moment to decide whether this is blood. It's only when the correct teacher comes that you observe deeply and it's correct. Okay, now I go forward. So the teacher won't become your teacher until step four happens. Step four is the reason you know it's your teacher. Step four is how you don't waste time on blind nonsense because you're cutting through it with your sharp observing power to make sure it is indeed true wisdom. And then, when it's true and complete, I learn it. As soon as I find it's not complete or not true or not wise or incomplete, whatever, then why would I waste my time? Clear it. No point learning it. So four is both the reason you find a teacher and the way you don't waste your time until you find that teacher. Okay, what's the fifth one?
Memorize.
Yeah, remember it. If you don't remember it, how are you gonna practice it? If you don't remember the form, how are you gonna practice Qigong? You can't just be like, yeah, I practice form all the time. Oh, I can't actually remember the form. Okay, how are you practicing it then? Oh yeah. Okay, so you gotta remember the wisdom. And then you can start to practice it. Wisdom is valuable when it can release your suffering. Therefore, it is important that you remember it correctly so that you can apply it to your own life. And yet, number six, any ideas? Number six?
Practice.
They've got use it. Simply, when you understand and remember the wisdom, you must apply it to your life, getting rid of bad habits and replacing them with wisdom choices.